found this in Ganarum. Ganarmir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
I'm Aaron O'Brien.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
And...
Faith Hertzberg.
Yes, indeed. So, I don't know if any of you guys listen to the podcast or not, but in episode 11...
No, we don't listen to this podcast.
No, why would we do something like that?
But just in case, if you haven't listened to the podcast yet, go back and listen to episode 11. Aaron and I had the privilege and honor and fortitude to speak with the one, the only, Walter Koenig.
Merit badge unlocked.
Achievement unlocked.
Achievement unlocked, and that's, I did not shit my pants.
So no. How did that feel, Aaron?
It felt really awesome. It was amazing. I was so we got a call, or you got the call or email from Todd Shante, and he told you that we had the opportunity to do this. So this was all real quick too.
Yeah, me and Todd had actually been talking on Facebook since our initial interview. Just kind of like, you know, just saying, hey, do you need to come back on? Do you have anything you need to say? And he was like, let me just make sure we got something straight. And then it came through and it was really quick. I found out Sunday for sure. And we recorded on Monday and we put the episode out on Monday.
Yeah, it was just one of those things that was so quick and I couldn't even believe it. It's like one of those, you just can't believe it's actually happening to you. That's the thing. So, I mean, it's like you're talking to Chekhov. This is
Star Trek royalty.
Yeah, this is it. This is, I mean, you don't get, you know, much better than that. So, I mean, it was cool. And what I was surprised too is how talkative and engaged. I kind of thought he might just be kind of like, oh, who are these guys, you know? But he was just really into it. He was telling us what he was up to, and then he gave us that reveal about him possibly playing the reoccurring villain.
The cerebral villain. And not only did we talk with Walter Koenig, we also talked with Todd Shante again, and also Walter Doty, his other co-writer on this Captain Pike project. And as of the recording of this episode, I think there's only 6 days left. I think when the episode comes out, there will only be like one or two. So please... Yeah. Take a look at this.
Go to the Kickstarter page. Try to see what you could fund. If you can just put maybe, you know, $20, $25, I think that's a starter. And, you know, everybody just putting a little bit in can really go a long way. So if you got more, of course, you know, by all means.
Definitely. And, it looks like a really cool project. Lots of great Star Trek actors. Robert Picardo, Linda Park, Ray Wise, who's guest starred a couple times, Dwight Schultz, you know, the great Barkley. It's just got an amazing cast.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And it's I think that they really understand where Star Trek should be and how the story should be. And I think they got that spirit, and I think they're going to do a great job. I think we just have to give them the chance to develop it. And I think I really believe this is going to be amazing when it actually gets made.
I cannot wait.
Very cool. Yeah.
Did she have any other questions for us, Faith, about this?
No, I think you guys pretty much covered it. You guys seemed to really enjoy that interview.
We did.
I think we were in shock for like an hour or two after. I just hung out at Aaron's house and we were just like...
Yeah, we just couldn't believe... We actually talked to Walter Koenig. I mean, did that really happen? I couldn't.
For you guys, absolutely. For what you guys do, absolutely. I can see it. And honestly, it was good being able to hear you guys be able to interview them and enjoy it so much. And be able to get that much information.
Yeah. And, you know, I was going to just say, just before we go on to other topics, is just that it occurred to me the other night that, you know, if this Kickstarter goes through and, you know, they're making these episodes for Captain Pike, I mean, and I'm not trying to be morbid or anything, but this could be maybe the last role that we really see Walter Koenig take on in a Star Trek, you know, world, you know. So that that might be the this could be it. So I mean, I'm just a thought. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to be morbid or depressing, but you know, this could be like this last swan song before it goes, you know.
Well, it's not morbid or depressing. It's very nice to be able to see our idols and that go out on such a high note, and to be able to fund the opportunity for him is nothing short of an honor.
Yeah, I think it would be amazing to see that just before, you know, it's like kind of like the bookends of it. He's got the original series, and then he's got the Pike.
Which is like sort of pre-original series, and he's still in it.
But he's still
really
in it.
Awesome.
It's so cool. So.
And then he's also in Renegades, which will be, I think, coming out later this year, where he's still playing Pavel Chekhov, but he's Admiral Pavel Chekhov.
Right.
Will be really interesting. I'm looking forward to see how that turns out.
Yeah. So anyways, that was the thought I had during this, so there we go.
No, it was a good thought.
Thank you.
Oh, we have an email.
You've got mail.
Email number two that we're going to read on the air. Although I feel kind of bad. Technically, I told them they could just write into us. And the two emails I've got, that's how we've gotten them. But you guys, as a reminder, you can write into us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. We will read your stuff on the air, and we will answer it to the best of our abilities. Like if you have a question or what we think about something about Star Trek, or you just, you know, have, you know, you didn't know something and just wanted to know, or you want to hear our take on it.
Or don't want us to talk
Make
about
us
something.
Argue between ourselves, whatever you feel like.
Or if you don't like hearing talk between Miles and Julian on the show.
Tell them where not to go.
Tell us to where boldly not go.
Don't go there. So what's the email say?
All right, this is from Justin Dimmitt. He actually plugged us. He's a YouTuber. He does a video blog about Star Trek. He typically likes to plug people who are, you know, active on YouTube, or podcasters who, I guess, do similar things and, you know, just want to, like, you know, as a communicative thing, you know, promote each other. He did a video, I think it came out like 3 or 4 days ago. It'll be more when this thing goes live, because this goes live on Monday. About that going live on Monday. Because we had our two bonus interviews this month, we're not able to post this on the 31st. It'll be live on Monday the 1st of June. So this is why this one was late. We had those two special bonus interviews. So Justin wrote in, said, "Hey Dave, I'm looking forward to joining you on your podcast sometime. I took the opportunity to watch Shadows of a Gem, which is the episode we're going to talk about today. He was kind of sleepy when he watched it, so I guess he's going to try and watch it again.
I don't know how you could sleep through that episode.
No. We don't want to, no spoilers yet, guys. Can't talk about that yet. He says, "I have a few ideas for the upcoming episodes. If you're interested, if you three, you, Aaron, and Faith, had to pick one episode as your favorite from each of the series, including the animated series, what would we pick? Another topic of discussion would be fan film series, Starship Farragut, Starship New Voyagers, Phase 2. Also, I'm listening to Robots Gone Wild at the moment. What about the episodes when a ship station takes a mind of its own? Granted, I can only think of a few where this happens. The Ultimate Computer, Emergence, Civil Defense, Adversary. I'm sorry, The Adversary. Just a few ideas crept into my head. Let me know what you guys think." So, I actually spoke with him this morning on the drive to work, and he does want to talk about The Inner Light, and we'll probably have him on and talk about The Inner Light with him at some point in the future.
That's cool. And his YouTube handle is Indie Trekker, so that's I-N-D-Y, and then Trekker, T-R-E-K-K-E-R. K-K-E-R, if you want to find him. And
he also has a Facebook group called, I think it's just Prosper. He's been posting on our Facebook page, so if you see it.
Right.
And yeah, just also come and join us, you know, facebook.com/group/Synthaholics. That's us.
What I was going to say, too, is, for the Robots Gone Wild, I was thinking at one point about including that the Ultimate Computer. But although that is, it did kind of go wild, but it really wasn't quite a robot. So, and we were packed full of episodes anyways. So.
Oh, we could always do a Robots Gone Wild Mark II.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do a second one because there's like the incident in Voyager when they find the smart warhead that B'Elanna has to do. To
save the
warhead. And then reactivates itself because it lied to her. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We should call that one Warheads Gone Wild.
We could do a whole segment on Into the Darkness, too, for that as well. So since seeing that Khan's whole crew is stuck in the Warheads, so...
There we go. We've got to revisit it.
Warheads Gone Wild.
Warheads Gone Wild. And then, you know, there's also, you know, there's room for Warheads Gone Wild. We've got Robots Gone Wild Mark II. We've got Holograms Gone Wild. There's so many Holograms that Gone Wild. There'll probably have to be at least 3 or 4 episodes of Holograms Gone Wild.
Oh, Holograms. It's got to be a 5-part series. You guys have
segments.
Okay. Well, anyway, so there we go. There's quite enough for us to go into for any of those.
Yeah, we'll be able to talk about those. Other Robot Gone Wild episodes where robots have just gone haywire and tried to take over whatever else that like the Enterprise or.
Yeah, I think it just came down to that we had too many options to talk about that, and we just wanted to talk more of the robots that have. For the most part, interact with people and they go crazy and try to kill people. So that was my take on that. So anyways.
Let's see. As far as Star Trek news, Simon Pegg has been stirring the honeypot that is Star Trek news. And it seems almost sort of trolly, but... A new little article came out, I believe, yesterday, the 27th, and he was talking a little about the title and William Shatner. He says we're not sure if we're really calling it Star Trek Beyond. It's just a kind of a placeholder title at the moment, but of course it could be the real title, and he's just, you know, saying it's not Khan.
Khan's not in it. No!
And then he's saying, you know, he's addressing whether William Shatner or not will be in the film. And, you know, he said it would be great if he could, you know, basically saying we shouldn't shoehorn him in just to shoehorn him in. But he's like, I have no doubt that Captain Kirk could still, you know, play Kirk at some point. I mean, William Shatner could play Kirk at some point. So, take that with a grain of salt or, you know, how you will.
Yeah, I sort of agree with him. I wouldn't want to see the next Star Trek movie. Just throw Shatner in, just to have Shatner in there, because you know part of it's like you want to see this new cast grow in their own way, and
we're not allowed.
Yeah, I know, but it's like we are tethered to the past, and it would be nice if we had something else. So I don't know. Any thoughts on that, Faith?
I hate to be the person that states that I'm not a fan of William Shatner, but I'm not.
Whoa, what happened
he
here?
He turned himself into a brand and not an idol, and it took it too far for me. You don't see anybody else in Star Trek doing the self-promotion to that point, and it seemed a little bit egocentric for a little while, and I didn't like it. So for me, seeing him in a new movie like that would probably... divert my attention.
Well, okay, but like for something like that, would you want to actually see Would you want to see Shatner in any like movie in the going in the future, or if you know, obviously, if you could carry the role, or is it just you just think he's become just too much of a caricature of himself?
It's too overplayed. It's way too overdone, and you can't really put William Shatner in a different role because that's who he is.
Right, right.
So for me, that's too spotlight. We need to have somebody else have this opportunity.
Well, I agree. I think that's the case too. That you know, we want to see Chris Pine do the part of Kirk.
Yeah.
So
now that I completely stunned my co-host.
I mean, even in Star Trek V, I can kind of see where he's basically playing William Shatner, not, you know, Captain Kirk also, and he was directing it too, which maybe that took something away from that too. But I mean, like, I still enjoy seeing him on screen. He's charismatic and funny.
Yeah, no,
he's a great guy, but, you know, he's William Shatner.
Yeah, I think you'd kind of rob the I mean, it's almost like, it's like you have like your mom and dad always there with you no matter what you do, and it's like, mom, dad, I can take care of this, I'm an adult now. Like if you were Chris Pine or any of the other actors in there, you're like, can we just do this without like the older you know, crew there? You know, that, I mean, that would just be my take of it. I mean, that's how I'd feel after a while, because we had, you know, not that we didn't like Nimoy in it, but it was like you always have these callbacks. So,
well, I mean, it seemed to me like the point of the reboot was to tell a new story and do new things and
get away with new faces.
Neither movie has done that. They've still used the old as a crutch, and I'm just like, what's the point of using the old as a, what's the point of a reboot if you're using the old as such a huge crutch?
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't, you know, if Shatner fit into the role for some reason, then cool. But if not, you know, let's not push it. I mean, I love the man. He's been one of my childhood heroes growing up. I mean, but I wouldn't want to see him just there, like you said, just to
shoehorn.
Just to shoehorn him in. So, just one other thing of Peg. We had a kind of a big discussion about Peg on our Facebook page about his comments about nerd culture has won, and now it's dumbing us all down.
That's my dad's take exactly. He hates the comic book movies.
I don't know if it's just, I think he's talking about not just comic book movies. I think everything over the all
Star Wars, because he hates the prequels. He's renowned for despising those.
And not even, but I think it's like if you take it all into consideration, it's like we're so into the idea of sci-fi and fantasy and any superheroes or anything that's out there. And I, believe me, I am, you know, part of the church of geekdom. I don't have any problem with it, but it's like, I sort of see his point. It's like, it's not that those things aren't there anywhere, but it seems like everyone just latches onto the lowest common denominator kind of thing. And, you know, it's like we're not getting anything to like enlighten us, maybe as before.
Well, that's part of that problem is that sci-fi is not, or sci-fi fantasy comic book stuff isn't niche anymore. It's mainstream, and because it's mainstream, it's got to appeal to that lowest common denominator. And so it's almost kind of lost something by becoming mainstream.
Right.
That's my take on it.
A level of a lowering of the educational level of what you're taking in, because a lot of these things, like, you had to have some sort of knowledge over what was going on to be able to understand it in a movie. And these days, you could walk in having no idea who the Avengers are, and right. It's going to be hand delivered to you in a way that, you know, elementary kids can understand.
Right, and not
because that's what it's geared for.
And not just that, but, you know, there's been more than one occasion where, you know, comics have become a bigger piece of literature than the standard, you know, just an adventure comic, you know, of, you know, Captain America and Iron Man, you know, fighting a bad guy. There's some deep meanings and some writers have put into things that, you know, that kind of like, you know, shook things up. I mean, if you look at Alan Moore and stuff like that and stuff that
read the Phoenix Saga from X-Men and any of that. I mean, it's not just handling the moral situations, it's handling a political issue that was going on at the time, as well as some very deep philosophical insight.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I mean,
those were our guidance. That was our graphic novel that helped us be better people when we were growing up.
Yeah,
so.
That's how I feel about it too. I mean, there was plenty of trash out there as well. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, Daredevil. Like, I love the comic, but I mean, that really was just junk food.
Well,
it was.
Well, wait a second.
It's a great piece of junk food, though.
What I was going to say is, but like when we looked at the original series of Star Trek, when we look at, you know, Next Generation, so much of it was like a big, big ideas that were being discussed there per episodes. And, it was kind of enlightening, you know, in some ways, because you were thinking about some bigger ideas than just a crew just out in space, you know? So I don't know. I think Simon Pegg does have some points. I would hope that I think underneath the crazy stuff like the big superhero movies and, you know, all the big sci-fi movies, I think that below the surface, if you dig deep enough, there is the really cool, intelligent, fun stuff that's going to inspire you, that's going to give you bigger ideas. But I think it takes some digging. You know, it's just like you're just not going to find it right away. So that's just my thought on it.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, though, because that's how it feels a lot these days. Like, you're just being given a lot of fluff.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Less talk. More Synthahol.
Come on. Come on. Commander Worf. So, yep. Absolutely. This is the Gong Show. We just got gonged by Worf.
All right, set the drinks down. We'll keep going.
So, are we going to talk about our topic today?
Well, we're talking about. I haven't even said anything and we're laughing. This is great.
I know. You've just been sitting back just watching us just go back and forth.
I don't have to.
It's like, I don't have to say anything. Okay, so we're talking about the Enterprise Shadows of a Gem.
Yes. The funny thing is, we kind of meant the Andorian incident. But since we said Shadows of a Gem, we're sticking to it. And we're going to talk about Shadows of a Gem and not the Andorian incident. I'm sure we'll have to reference it a little bit.
Well, yeah, maybe we just do a quick recap. So,
but I think we should do a whole episode on it, you know, at a later date. Maybe soonish, since we did this one. We'll do it prequel style.
Right, but let's just give just the quick thing is that...
We'll do like George Lucas and add in some extra CGI.
5 minutes.
Yes. Let's go. So basically that Enterprise goes to Pajem to visit a monastery, and... they come across an Andorian squad of commandos that have kind of like took it over, and they're looking for a surveillance listening station on the planet. The monks there in the monastery say it's not there. And after a big hoopla of fights and trying to escape and torture, they discover...
Archer getting hit a lot.
Yeah, Archer getting hit in the face a lot.
He was doing the old Tyler Durden Fight Club thing. It's like, yeah, just keep hitting me. It'll work.
Yeah. But they find that there is a listening station, and that the Vulcans had broken the treaty between the Andorians and themselves, and they were basically spying on the Andorians. So there was something there, and so Shadows of a Gem is a little bit of the fallout and what comes afterward between the Vulcans and the Andorians. With the crew of the Enterprise.
Yeah, so we have, you know, the Ambassador Saval and, you know, the Admiral. They're talking, they're complaining about, oh, but Jim got overrun, and you should have picked this other guy as captain, because he would have been less interfering, he just doesn't, like, they're just like, the Vulcans are very opinionated on what should be happening with the humans.
The Vulcans feel like a parent that's like, after you've like turned like, you know, like 2021, and you've got things under control. You might not have it all right, but you're getting there. And they're constantly just like asking you and meddling with you, and it's driving you nuts because you're just like, listen, Mom, I got it, okay? I know how to
take
drive.
Take the training wheels off.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And the Vulcans are like, you used to enjoy our council. It's like, yeah, when you could give us warp 2.
We're going 6 now. So
only 5.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that was it in the... So the Vulcans kind of like storm out of the office, and one of the big fallouts of this for Enterprise is that T'Pol is going to be recalled back to the back to Vulcan.
Since Vulcan High Command cannot really reprimand Archer, they're going to take it out on T'Pol. Archer points out that this seems pretty...
How about the results of the gem, though?
What do you mean?
We didn't say what happened to the gem.
It got bombed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. That slipped my mind.
All the Vulcans got, they gave them 3 hours to evacuate. It's possible some of the artifacts are saved, but probably not many of them. And I'm just going to guess they got carpet bombed or nuked or Death Starred.
Yeah, there wasn't anything really left.
Permanently removed.
Yeah, no, it's gone. So, So that was. I guess that's pretty bad too.
And Dorians don't like to be watched while they're having breakfast.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's bad because it's T'Pol that they won't want to blame for it, since she was the only Vulcan present on the ship.
Right, that's true.
Well, I know they do these things for drama, but it's just really unbelievable that you're gonna you're 12 episodes in or something like that, and you're going to just, like, replace, you know, one of the major characters on the front screen whose name comes up. It just, I don't know. I understand they do it for drama, but
You're trying to hang your disbelief, and it's just not hanging.
Yeah, I know it's going to resolve. It's just, I guess you just have to enjoy the ride on how it's going to resolve. Because you know it's going to. There's no real danger that she's going to go anywhere.
Right.
I mean, the only time they kind of really follow through is with Trip a little bit. He does get transferred to a new ship, but it doesn't matter. He's still in it just about as much as he would be anyway. So
right. So just going back to here, we have Archer. In the meantime, before they really come aware of T'Pol's, getting transferred off the ship. He wants to check out this place called the Corridan System, which has been working with the Vulcans for some time. And they know who the Vulcans are. They have good relationships with the Vulcans. And he just wants to check out this planet. And
he and Trip Tucker are having lunch. And he's just leading them on.
Yeah.
Down this track of being really like a dick to him.
Because that's what Archer does.
Teasing him with all the things he would want to see.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, the Warp 7 reactor. Oh, we'll have Hoshi take a bunch of pictures for you.
Right. So there's a little banter there where when they get the call from Admiral Forrester, and they're going to... it gives them all the bad news. He lays it all out on them, that the gem has been destroyed and T'Pol's being recalled. And that the Vulcan ship is going to be coming, meeting them, and picking her up soon. So they're taking their ball, and they're going home.
So he says no to Hoshi. I mean, he as an Archer says no to Hoshi. We're going to go ahead and take T'Pol. And he tells Trip later after the lunch, he's like, yeah, I can't take you or Hoshi. I got to spend some alone time with my science officer. And he's like, now I know you're joking. And Archer's like, no. I'm not joking.
Something I've been meaning to do for a while. So they're going down to the planet. And while they're heading down, their ship's attacked. Their shuttlecraft's attacked.
By a T-Wing.
Yes, a T-Wing is right. And these are sort of like dissident terrorists or revolutionaries that are on this planet that I guess they're a small faction, but they're enough to, you know, come up and start attacking, gas flying in. And they're called the Treg. Is that what they're called? I believe they're called the Treg. And
Militant dissidents.
Yeah, so this is the part where I get a little bit... it's strange is that they're attacked, and then all of a sudden... the next scene, you see them; they're captured. It's like
you don't see a crash. You don't hear about it. They're
just happens.
There's no fight.
No fight. Nothing. They're just captured. They're tied up in a room in some kind of corrugated steel shack.
It's a tin shack made of tin and or aluminum.
They have many holes drilled through it.
Oh, so you can put lights outside and shine them in.
Right. Right.
Lots of peepholes like because that. they know what happens when a man and a woman are in a shack together.
When a man's tied to a woman, you never know what he's gonna do. All right,
what she's gonna do.
So let's just break down this. I think this is very important how they're tied up together.
This is a technological race. They're more advanced than the Vulcans, and they're using a rope.
They're using rope
and a tin shack.
So Archer and T'Pol are both tied up around their torsos, back to back. Their hands are tied. The legs are tied. And they're facing away from each other.
So they do the Massimo M pose, and they push themselves up to standing.
Yeah, it's a couple tries. They get up standing, and then they're going to... T'Pol does a little shimmy around Captain Archer.
And a really fast flick of the hips, and she's facing him.
They're facing, face to face. And this all of a sudden turns sexy, sexy.
Heavy, heavy, heavy breathing. And, can you untie my wrists?
The knot's here. No, it's lower.
So after a few minutes of trying to play with the knots,
yeah.
And then they managed to...
Well, no.
They get most of them undone.
Yeah,
they get most of them undone.
Before people come back,
and then they try to like lean over and untie the legs, but it just looks like they're examining each other's butts.
Yeah, yeah, giving each other like a rectal exam.
It's a sniffing ritual.
Yeah, and then they're going to untie their. Are they doing the legs?
They're examining each other's butts, and then somehow they fall, and T'Pol lands chest first on Archer's face. I'm not sure how that position happened, given they were not even close to that when they were bent over sideways.
Right, and I kind of think this is like everything from this episode to from the beginning of this series to this episode has been leaning towards this, and I think this has finally happened for Archer to get those breasts in his face.
Faceplant, your science officer.
So, unfortunately, they do untie themselves, but right then, one of the guards walk in. There's a little bit of a rumble in the jungle.
Archer does this awesome kick that's worthy of a Kirk move.
Yeah,
where he's like, you know, rolls on his back and uppercuts the guy with his feet.
And they're fighting for a second, and T'Pol's going for the gun, but then more guards walk in, and it's all for nothing. So the only thing that really worked out in anybody's favor was that Archer got the breast in his face. So,
yes.
That's it.
And that's the end of the episode, guys.
That's it. Roll credits.
And this is where they stopped watching.
That's when I lost interest for the rest of the episode.
It's just like, it can't
be. Yeah, no, it was boobs.
It can't
for the rest of the season.
Boobs. That's it. It's that
episode. Didn't matter
what else can't
came
get any better.
Screen, that's all you saw.
So, contrary to face beliefs, I did watch a little further. Not much further. But so the Vulcan ship, the Navarre shows up. And
a day early, too.
A day early. They're always coming a day early.
Man, those Vulcan ships show up fast.
Yes, they do.
And Trip and him have a little thing. Actually, before they show up, they get a ransom note from the captors of...
Well, before that, they were told by the planetary ambassador to under no circumstances respond or do anything for the ransom demand.
And she hangs up on Trip. And then the ransom guy comes up and ransoms them, and they say something about the female captain and some, like, butler.
The ship steward.
Like, they're like, are they even got the right people? But then they Trip gets hung up on again.
DePaul is a butler? Why don't I have a butler? So,
a butler named DePaul?
Yeah. So then the Vulcan ship with Captain Sopek comes in, and he's where's DePaul, where's Archer, and they're like, they're down on the planet and they're captured, and we can't do anything about it. And that's where the Vulcans are going to try to take over the situation, and they're going to try to show the humans how it's done. So they come over to the Enterprise, kind of dismiss their ship and their limited ways of their technology. This is all primitive.
Vulcan children play with toys more advanced.
We have ships. Children fly ships like this. This is like a big wheel to us.
These are lots and lots of blocks.
These are like the big Duplo Lego blocks to us. Okay? This is like simpleton stuff. So then this is where Malcolm and Trip decide that they're going to
mount a rescue,
and they're going to get the rescue on. So they go down to the planet
in a shuttle pod.
A shuttle pod. Of course, they don't beam down.
This worked the first time.
Yeah, right. And they are subsequently
luckily they don't run into a T-wing this time.
No, but they're subsequently captured again. As soon as they...
But this time they're not captured by the natives of the planet.
Yeah, there's dissidents. It's somebody else. And who is these wonderful people?
Wei-Yun. Oh, wait, no. That's not Wei-Yun.
Wei-Yun!
Chief Inspector Brunt. Wait, no. Shran.
Shran.
Wei-Yun. Shran.
Shran, yes.
The wonderful Jeffrey Combs.
This guy is my favorite guest on all of Enterprise. There's everything he comes in and does. I mean, I think he's so amazing.
I love how the Andorians' antennas wiggle.
I just love the Andorians in Enterprise. I think that was a race they really fleshed out and they made so cool. You know, it was so interesting to see Andorians in action, because before that, we only had a little bit in original series, and maybe like a brief appearance in Next Gen.
I don't think you ever see them in Next Gen or Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
And
mentioned
never
but
Voyager.
Not shown.
Hmm?
What's mentioned that? But not shown, and Voyager, they never existed.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't really see so much of them, and I think they are an interesting race, you know? I mean, they're one of the foundings of the Federation. We just don't ever...
Why don't we ever see any Andorian Federation officers? We know they exist.
Well, there... I think there was in 4, in Voyage Home, and the Federation...
headquarters.
We saw a couple of Andorians dressed in their Federation uniforms, but that's about it. So, it's Shran who actually has captured him, and he's like, you know, what are you doing here? You guys are a bunch of idiots. You don't even know what you're up against.
If you would have gone to the shuttle, they would have bombed you.
Right.
They left it out in the open just because...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so.
That's not obvious.
Oh, so back on Enterprise, Hoshi gets a call from the Vulcan.
Yeah.
And
like, where was that shuttlecraft going?
Where's the shuttlecraft going? And then she makes some strange remark about how shuttles come and go all the time, which I don't get. And then she says something about Union Station. And I'm just like,
Union Station.
I'm like the Northwest Passage. How long has this been irrelevant?
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe Union Station still exists in.
Station was still one of the larger transport hubs, actually.
Yeah, but maybe it's still there in the future.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so Shran and Tucker and Malcolm are going to basically try to get into their fortress. They make a plan. They go up to distract the guards at the gates, and that's where they get into the fortress of the dissidents there, and they start to mount the rescue mission. while they're getting in there and getting Captain Archer and T'Pol out,
the Vulcans spring their victorious, crazy bombardment.
Yeah, they blow through the wall and they just start shooting everybody up. So
Vulcans aren't very subtle. I would have thought Vulcans would be a little bit more subtle.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. It's that Vulcans can be pretty violent when they want to be for all their peace and harmony. So the Vulcans come in, they're shooting everything up. The Andorians are shooting at the Vulcans. Even, Tucker and everyone, they're fighting the Vulcans too. And they do get Archer and T'Pol out of their jail cell.
And Shran can now finally sleep.
He's like, I can sleep.
I can sleep now. I paid my debt to this pink skin, and I'm so glad that Travis Mayweather wasn't with them. Otherwise, he might have been insulted by that.
Yes, it's like we're not all pink, sir. We have different colors in our race. So do you. You got the white ones, too.
Yeah, you got white Andorians.
Yeah.
And they're very white.
They're white. Okay, so...
get some sun! Get some,
what are you doing in there?
They can't. It reflects.
So, they get the...
curses!
They get the... they're out, and that's when they're all sort of like, you know... The Vulcans are like, oh, what are you doing with the Andorians? You know, oh, you guys are traitors and all this. There's kind of a last meeting there at the battleground when one of the Treg come around to make a last shot. And that's when T'Pol jumps to save Captain Sopek.
And it's apparently like a energy bullet, not like not like a beam, but it's
instead
a
plasma bullet. Is that what you said? Yeah.
Like a burst, almost.
Yeah. Yeah, so she took a bullet for the captain.
She got green blood oozing out her hips.
Yeah, she did. And then Captain Archer, you know, they were going to take her back to their ship, the Navarre, and Captain Archer picks her up and goes, "Still my science officer," and walks off.
The transfer orders haven't come through yet. You were early.
Yeah. So this is where they play a little trick on Captain Sopek.
Oh, and sort of kind of T'Pol, too, because she's out cold.
Well, yeah, but she kind of...
No, she just agreed. She followed logic, okay?
Yeah, so you're back at on the Enterprise. T'Pol is unconscious on the sickbay bed, and you have Captain Sopek there basically inquiring about her and, like, you know, what's going to happen, how bad her wounds are. And
Dr. Phlox just lies to him. he's like, I wish I knew.
Yeah, her injuries are extensive, and that she needs to stay here and get rest and heal up, and doesn't know what's going to happen. And then Archer appeals and says, she took that plasma bullet for you, and she could have died. That should reflect well on her character, and maybe the Vulcan High Command could see that, you know. She's not as bad as they're painting her to be.
And luckily, he has a meeting with a Vulcan High Command in 3 days.
Yes.
So he considers
He's like, maybe I'll have the chance to talk about it. So this is where you're sort of like, okay, I guess that means that T'Pol is going to be staying.
Like I said at the beginning of the episode, we all knew she was staying. It's just how is it going to resolve so that she can stay?
Right. So Shadow with Gem kind of ends there.
Phlox wakes her up, and he's like, she's like, you should have consulted me before making this decision.
She wakes up, it's like, what? I'm fine. What? I'm gonna get back to duty. And Phlox says, no, you're staying here. And he gives him the whole information, and she says, I need to rest here. So
yeah, he gave her the option of going after him, and she chose to chill out and
my doctor
rest instead and follow doctor's orders.
Although, I can't imagine it would be very fun staying in sickbay for 24 hours, considering Dr. Phlox more or less sleeps there, and at night he's chasing around his animals he lets loose.
Yeah, there was an episode where the night at the doctor's office or something like that, where there's everything, all the antics that go on in the sickbay.
Yeah.
How can that be a restful place for sick people?
That's
but to be fair, he's got a Vulcan in his sick bay, so
She'll just neck pinch all the animals to death.
Or, yep, there you go.
If one gets near, neck pinch, bam. Neck pinch.
I will have silence.
Well, I just want to say that Shadow of the Gem, it's interesting. It kind of seemed like a filler episode just to have like a little bit of like show the tension grow between the Andorians and the Vulcans. I mean, it's obviously you're seeing the fallout of what happened with Pajem.
Well, I think that's great because, I mean, Star Trek doesn't reference itself enough usually in the television shows. Usually it just resets and everything's fine and nothing ever comes up again. That's one of the things I definitely like about Enterprise, whereas that it references itself. You get the same, some of the same characters, and they're building a story instead of just, oh, it's just a random episode.
Yeah, no, Enterprise was good about building story arcs that like kind of like, you know, expand. And it doesn't happen show after show after show, but you'll have different elements that will revisit and you'll see more of that.
Yeah, they developed each of the characters in that in a way so that you still had some sort of perspective or relation to each of them.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Combs as Shran is just so... I just love his character so
Jeffrey
much.
Jeffrey Combs as anything in Star Trek is nothing short of just amazing.
I know, but I just loved his character as the Andorian as Shran, and it just... it was just so... I mean, I loved every time he showed up. I mean, you know, the actual... Andorian incident that where the Pajem is discovered. His role is a little muted there because you don't see him like as strong.
I think it's his first appearance.
Yeah, it is, but it's like it's kind of his. Yeah, you don't get a full scope of his character, and then you get a little bit of it in this one, a little more, and then it just becomes more. He just grows more and more. He's just man, what a great character!
And I heard that if the Enterprise returned for a season 5, that he would have basically become a new addition to the Enterprise crew.
Oh my god, that was so cool.
Because at the end of season 4, like, he's lost his ship and he's sort of kind of disgraced as far as Andoria goes.
Yeah.
So like I think there were talks about maybe having him join as like a main cast member. That would have been so amazing. Stupid CBS NBC for destroying.
Yeah, I know.
Destroying that. Why did you do that to us? Jeffrey Combs is amazing. Enterprise was amazing.
Yeah.
Season 4 was amazing.
I just looking because this is season 1, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, because I watched this. I watched the Andorian incident, and I watched a few other episodes, and I was just like, man, I forgot how much I really do like Enterprise.
Well, we both rated it number 3 in our Trek versus Trek episode.
Yeah, it just I really do enjoy it. I just I'm going to have to go back and watch more of it because I just
love Enterprise.
Yeah, so cool, man. What a great. I mean, everything is just so cool about that that show. I mean, they just the makeup, the special effects, the story arcs,
getting used to technology,
the boobs in the face.
You know. Oh, you know, you can't forget the important things.
I honestly think, can I just my theory on this whole episode was just to get to Paul's boobs in Archer's face.
So they wrote the entire episode around that one scene.
That's my feeling. On this whole thing. I could be wrong, but I don't know. It's just like especially the first season, it seemed like there was a little bit of a tension, like a sexual tension between Archer and DePaul, and it kind of disappeared after Tucker started seeing her. You know. And I don't know. I don't know if that was intentional or if that was just something that was on screen, but it just it seemed to be there. I don't know if anybody else felt that way, especially in the first season.
Some interesting tidbits about that that particular scene. from the ye olde memory alpha. Because when they shot that scene, when they first fell over, some mood music was helped in the filming of the scene in which Archer and DePaul are handcuffed, and Archer's face becomes buried intimately close to DePaul's bosom. We wrapped for the night as they fell over, so the next morning...
They left them there all night together. Just stay like that, guys. Don't move.
So the next morning, they start off the sequence with her on top of him in that position. And the sound department put on the song Love Shack really, really loud over the speakers.
That's nice.
It was a great way to break the ice for the morning. Everyone got a big laugh out of it. It was perfect. And that's like the biggest like thing Memory Alpha has for that episode. The as far as like kind of behind the scenes stuff, this episode's really kind of short on it. So that one thing might have actually been, Aaron might have been right. They might have written the whole episode around that, because there's not a whole lot of trivia in Memory Alpha about this episode.
I can't see. I mean, they don't even show the shuttlecraft going down or them getting captured or how they got them out of the shuttlecraft. It just was like they're in a tin shack tied together. You know, it's like, I don't know. Like, they're. It just seemed like this was the whole...
Unintentional bondage.
I mean, even the, you know, the cordon system, you know, like, who the hell cares? You know, it's like, you know, it's like just a meaningless planet that has, you know, some 3 billion people on it. I don't know.
We never hear about it again.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, is that one of the planets Sorin destroys trying to get the energy ribbon?
Maybe. I don't know.
That would be nice. No more tin shacks and rope.
Yeah, yeah. No more.
I think in addition to Archer getting, you know, a face full of boobs in the process, I think it also helped further show the difference in Vulcan nature, because in prior versions of Star Trek, we see this very staid, logical, calm, mostly passive race that only now and then, you know, completely flips its shit. And I think in the Andorian incident, and especially in Shadows of a Gem, we get to see the side of them that they're trying to intentionally suppress, the reason why they're doing that in the first place, which is how quick and how violent and aggressive they are and how strong that really is. Because throughout Star Trek, you know, you hear, oh, well, they're really strong. This is one of the few instances, along with a couple of other episodes in, oh, God, now I can't remember it, The Next Generation and Voyager, where you actually get to see that that's shown.
Oh, right, yeah.
Before, it's just sort of a myth.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is the... it's sort of like those people who you see on TV who are, or, you know, in the news, they're like these, like, really extreme, like, anti-gay homosexual, and then they come out and they're the ones that are having gay sex with, you know, some, like...
Closet,
you know,
hypocrites.
Yeah, and it's like, that's what I'm kind of getting the feel for these Vulcans, is that they're like... We're not emotional. We're not violent. We don't do any of these things. And it's like, you know,
no,
it's like,
we are these things.
No, we blow wall. We blow holes in the walls.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, but when they want to, they'll go apeshit on you, and they'll fuck everything up.
And like Donkey Kong. They won't care about it after.
Right. Yeah.
That's the important part. They won't care about it after.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, you were upset by this.
Well,
why were
logical.
You upset by
you
this?
You were in the way.
That was logical. We had to do that.
Hide behind the veil of logic.
Yeah, it is an interesting thing. That's a good point too. Is that we keep on getting these glimpses of the Vulcans who are not maybe as tempered as we think they are.
Well, I mean, in TOS and Enterprise, they aren't as like enlightened as they are in TOS.
Yeah,
they're anti mind meld. They're like, they do lots of, there's a disease that comes through mind melds. Like, Enterprise has some really weird things that I wish they could have, like, talked about more to resolve. Cause they didn't really make sense in the overall scheme of things.
Right, they did.
Like, I'm like, the mind meld disease, is this transferable to humans? I don't remember. I just remember the Vulcans were getting it. And
yeah,
getting
Paul
sick.
Had it.
Getting sick from
right,
like, mind meld.
It,
yeah, she got it when she when she was experimenting with mind melds.
Yeah, it's like, that was my college years, okay? I was just experimenting. But no, but it was like
30 years of them.
So don't accidentally caress your lover's face. You might accidentally mind meld them, and oh, you'll get sick.
That's why it's like MTD. That's why they
mental transmitted disease.
That's why they rub their fingers together. That's for the sex. They don't touch each other's faces.
I thought that was to keep from shocking each other. Yeah. I mean, the static cling on those short carpets has got to be horrible. I mean, really.
I know. I think you see the evolution of Vulcans from there. But there's another thought too, is that the Vulcans, to become the race that they were, you know, not only they were governed by logic, but obviously their past of their like aggressive side must have driven them to be, you know, spacefaring a race and to be out there and to explore. So I don't think it was just their logic that drove them there. There must have been their aggressive side that brought them out in space as well.
Yeah, because they seem to have an interesting little bit of a Napoleon complex for guys that seem so well equipped to handle everything. They don't like people questioning them or looking at them sideways at all.
Yeah.
Well,
there's no tolerance.
What I think, like, I don't know if it's ever said anywhere officially in Star Trek canon, but my belief is that they invented space travel back when Romulans and Vulcans were still the same race. And I feel like the founder of logic, whenever Vulcans went to the logical way, Sarek, yeah, whenever they went to the logical way, the ones who didn't became Romulans and left. That's how, yeah, I've always kind of interpreted it.
That's your personal theory of how it works?
Yeah, because
a good theory.
I mean, that way, I mean, they both have green blood and all that stuff. I just don't understand why their forehead changed in Next Generation.
Well, it didn't happen overnight, so I mean, it's possible.
It happened over 70 years, and there's no evolutionary good reason to evolve a permanent frown. How does it help you in the long run?
Who knows?
It decreases the amount of wrinkles.
Well, no, but it wasn't 70
years. By adding a permanent wrinkle.
Oh, you're just birth. Oh, you're just talking about the, you know, you're just talking about the TOS makeup compared to the brow to the Next Generation, right?
Well, even in the Star Trek reboots, thank goodness the one thing they got right in the JJ movies is the Romulans didn't have the stupid foreheads.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So JJ, you did that right. Thank you so much for not giving the Romulans foreheads. And this is our first time really delving into an Enterprise episode. So there's a couple things I wanted to address just because this is Enterprise. The song.
It's been a long time. Getting from there to here.
I really hated it when it first came on the television. I couldn't stand it. My dad would have me sit at home and record Voyager while he had to go do something. Or not Voyager, Enterprise. While he had to go do something. And this is the ye old days of VHS tape. So you'd hit pause and it would stop recording. So I would pause out the song. And he'd get upset.
So this one he'd hear. He'd be like, it's been a... And then at the end, near, that little guitar outro.
See, that's even worse, because then you're singing it in your head.
Yeah, he's already singing it. He's got his head.
Like, but now, being older, the song doesn't bother me as much. The music for the song is actually really good, and if I kind of tune out the lyrics, like, the music works really good with all the imagery that's shown. And the lyrics, you know, work well enough, too, as I'm older, and I've kind of accepted it, and, you know, I miss that Enterprise is on, you know, not on television anymore, so... Even though it's, you know, it was irksome, it's kind of grown on me over the years.
Interesting.
But I don't think I've gotten over the remix, which comes in on season 3 and 4, where, like, they just change it up because, like, everyone hated the song so much.
Oh, yeah.
They remixed it.
They did change that.
So season 3 or 4, yeah. It's got more. It's more bumpy with a pop sound.
Yeah,
to
that
it.
Got that was corny because I liked this. I liked it better with the season 1, season 2 because that had a better feel to it. I don't know.
I think it fit most out of all the opening sequences for Star Trek that suited it, because that was the beginning of Enterprise.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think it had a nice feel for it because they're trying to show, you know, the kind of, like, earthy, kind of maybe slightly country feel to, you know, to the Enterprise. That's not, like, just out in space, you know. Give it a more personal feel.
Yeah, and... And then also a big weird thing with Enterprise is, as far as visual continuity goes, is their uniforms. Because you go from full body jumpsuits to the nice, you know, colorful shirts and skirts, and then you go back to jumpsuits for everything else. And I'm just like, I know in the 60s, you know, maybe it was a little bit more sexist or whatever, or they wanted a woman to look hot and show a lot of leg. But, like, the visual language, if you watch them chronologically, makes no sense. Like, you know, Archer's got his 4 square pips, and Riker and Picard have their round pips, and then in the original series, their frank is worn on their sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of decoration. Like, so the visual style, like, echoes the future series more than it does the original series, which kind of...
But that doesn't ever bother me.
It doesn't make sense on a visual standpoint.
I think they were trying to make a more unique stance with the costuming and then try and tie it into the more current episodes than the older ones.
But, too, I think they're also showing a maybe a little bit of a feel of what current like space program shoots. So if you see the guys, the current astronauts that are up in the space station, they have uniforms when they're dressed up in these jumpsuits that are very similar to this. Same thing with, you know, when the space shuttle was in operation as well.
They're super practical. They got all these zipper like pouches and stuff on them, like, and you see like in
he got
in,
the patch. The Andorian incident. He's got like the round patch with the Enterprise on there.
It's not bad functionally. I just question the visual language. If you look at it in a chronological standpoint, Enterprise, the TOS, the TNG, like the visual language is broken, I think, with their uniforms.
I never even gave it a thought.
I can understand that, but I actually didn't value it as much as just took it as somebody taking a little bit more creative license.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about Enterprise?
Oh, those are the two big things, the song and the visual language of, you know, how things look. Because to me, it's just, you know, it's a little bit jarring. It looks more like the future series rather than the old series.
I do find it interesting that Captain Archer in Enterprise is sort of the human punching bag. He takes most of the hits all the time. I mean, not saying nobody else gets hit, but, man, he gets punched a lot in the face.
Yeah, but, you know, he's the flagship captain of their shiny new toy. He's going to be under a microscope the entire time.
Yeah, they're like, you know, part of your training as captain is getting punched in the face.
Well, you see, if it get punched in the face, it swells up more, so they've got more to look at underneath the microscope.
If things go wrong, you're getting blamed, regardless.
So, Captain, for your training to be captain for this ship, we're going to have face punching class 101.
How many can you take to the face before you can't take anymore?
He does get punched in the face a lot.
Wasn't Archer also the only one to have a pet too?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he had his little pet Porthos.
Picard had a goldfish. No, a lionfish.
No, the that doesn't count. It's a fish.
Some people love their pet fishes.
I have my kids have two fish, so I'm.
And I have. I have fish, but their IQ is not sufficient.
No, mine aren't either. My kids' fish won't die either. I have to keep cleaning that damn tank. It drives me crazy.
They defy you like that.
Yeah, it's like, they're living.
They eat their young. They're cannibals.
No, mine haven't yet, but they haven't bred yet. So, Enterprise, great show. Shadows Pajam, kind of like a transitionary episode. It's a little in between, so it's fun. It's I mostly go for the boobs part of it, but
and show
for that 15 seconds. For that 15 seconds, that's that's where your money goes.
And that's when I turn it off after that. So.
I'll be in my bunk. to quote Jane from Firefly, I'll be in my bunk.
I'll be in my bunk. What are you going to do up there?
Want to come and watch?
Shut up and leave me alone. Give me the box of tissues. That's where I'm at with this. Anybody else have any takeaways?
Any closing thoughts on Shadows of the Gym?
No, I think boobs and development of the Vulcans is pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah. And the escalation of the Andorians-Vulcan
conflict.
Yeah.
And the beginning of the relationship between Archer and...
Shran.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And actually... I kind of think this is kind of like the last maybe kind of tension thing between him and T'Pol, that sexual tension that I was kind of alluding to before.
I want to say there's another episode later in season one. It might have been in between, but I want to say it might have been later.
No, there's one later.
I think it's later where he like slips up and says boobs or something like to her face.
Yeah, that's right.
Like he's like really tired or something.
the one where they're going through the decontamination.
That's right. That's right. That decontamination just meant just to show them all in their Speedos
and their blue undies and you know
and lotion.
There's
glittery lotion.
There's really no reason for that to exist except for that.
Yes, there is. They don't use the transporters, and the transporters is what decontaminates them in the future.
Thank you, Dave. So, I didn't understand that part. I'm just saying.
You got to get in the chamber and rub each other down.
Because when they were still transporting stuff, everything still had a chance of scrambling when it came back.
Yeah, but do they put their food that they get in there through that? Do they put all those things?
Everything.
Do they rub it down with that stuff? You know, do like?
Well, no, that's a biologic agent. That's for people. That's not for inorganic container.
Enterprise was trying to be sexy.
Yeah, I know. That's my point. It was only
blue
their
and body glitter. That was just to spotlight the characters. That was it.
I mean, admittedly, all the characters had pretty good bodies. So the men and women pretty good. So you can't complain. It wasn't like
O'Brien and Bashir.
It wasn't like O'Brien.
Oh, Jesus. That's right. We're gonna
down. It'll probably be a recurring thing because we'll talk about Deep Space Nine some more, and O'Brien and Bashir are definitely a thing in Deep Space Nine.
Forever in our minds.
So I have to say that I'm happy for them. That is just a very nice, healthy relationship.
It is. Except for Keiko.
It's the best bromance ever to bromance on a Star Trek show.
Yeah, yeah.
It definitely fills the gaps for all the deficits for all their other relationships.
Good point.
Oh, like whenever Bashir and Alita go into Ryza and like have their happy breakup thing. Like mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Let's have a happy breakup.
Nice.
That seems
grateful to be going the other way.
That seems opposite of how breakups normally go, but you know.
No, when you're both relieved and screaming freedom, that counts.
I guess. Oh, poor Quark. He didn't get to get with Lita. So let's just transition to.
You are the most beautiful woman in the galaxy. You don't know how long I've wanted to tell you that.
But you're afraid.
Yes.
Of me?
Of us, of what we might become. Then you're inviting me in.
I'm not sending you away.
That's more than I expected.
Is it as much as you hoped?
To hope is to recognize the possibility. I had only dreams.
Dreams can be dangerous.
Not these dreams. I dream of a galaxy where your eyes are the stars and the universe worships the night.
Careful. Putting me on a pedestal so high you may not be able to reach me.
Then I'll learn how to fly. You are the heart in my day, and the soul in my night.
We lost two more relays, I can't!
Shut up, kid.
And I know what you guys are thinking. We're going to talk about T'Pol falling on Archer.
But we're not.
And you would be wrong to think that. Because I'm pretty sure we've already driven that into the ground.
I don't know, knowing you guys, I'm sure we could do it a few more times.
That does replay in my mind more than once. But anyways.
Anyway.
Quick, smack it. He's stuck on the track.
Anyway, last night, May 27th, Aaron O'Brien found a video.
Made Synthaholic history by posting
a video. This video is just a few. It's a minute and 48 seconds. It's a very short video. But in it, this short video with very little dialogue says so much. Yes, we will link this video in the show notes. I'm sure Aaron and I will link it again in there, just so you can be like, why does they keep linking this? Like, you'll see this pop up if you're on our group. You'll see it keep popping up, and you're like, why are they doing this? And then you'll hear this episode, and you're like, oh my god, I got it.
Yeah. So whoever put this together was really, really cool and ingenious. What they did, they took a bunch of they made a Riker show, and they took clips from the Next Gen of him just kind of like chilling out with a totally different like vibe to it.
It's like an 80s cop show. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's like him talking and then him just hanging out and eating food. And then, so that's like the beginning of it. And you see him, they're on the bridge and Beverly is going to make an incision on the organic
bioship that they randomly meet in one of the episodes of Next Generation.
Right, right. And they're basically helping this bioship give birth to this next to its baby.
A spaceship C-section, guys.
Yes, exactly. So this thing is about the size of the Enterprise, or close to it. Yeah, it's giant. And they make the incision with their phasers, and what comes swimming out is a smaller bioship with Riker's face on there. And what is so good about this is not only is Picard looks, this is how they edit this, Picard looks at Riker, and Riker's got a little smirk on his face, like, yeah, I did that. And then he looks over at Deanna. Deanna gives him like this, what the hell did you just do? And then he gives her sort of like,
kind of like. He gives her like, uh-oh. It's like an uh-oh face.
Yeah, oh my God. This is just this subtlety and everything about this. I mean, I don't know who these guys are, but they are just wonderful editors. What the work that must have gone in just to like put all those sequences together.
And to find the ones with the perfect facial. Because, yes. I mean, it probably wasn't the same episode.
Oh, no.
It was, you know.
Yeah, they definitely did something. Well done. Yeah, this is great. It was so good. So,
so Riker somehow got it on with this bio ship. Yes. The size of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Riker's like, challenge accepted.
Yes. It's just so ridiculous. I mean, obviously this is not canon. This is just people doing this, but this is just, it was so funny and it's so well done. I don't know. I couldn't stop myself from laughing when I saw it.
Captain Carl invented his own special Riker Scores moment. So we found a special one that someone else created online. It was very funny.
Yeah.
So.
This is very, very funny. So check it out if you haven't seen it already. Or watch it again, or watch it another 5 times, because it's just so darn funny. I've watched it like 10 times, just cracking up every time I've seen it.
It doesn't really get old.
No,
it's a beautiful thing. I just love the way it's cut. I mean, just the editing is great.
Like the outro and intro sequences are great too. I mean, the joke about the bio ship baby that with Riker's face is hilarious, but the in and
the
out,
intros are great. Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah. It's so well done. So, there's our Riker Scores.
So, where did you find that? Did someone send it to you, or did you just find that somewhere on the internet?
No, somebody posted an article, and they were talking about it in this article, and I just went to YouTube, and I found it, and I just thought it was hilarious. So, and that's when I posted it, so.
Yeah. It was brilliant. I liked it, and then, and actually, Todd Shantae went and commented on the video, too. I'm like, sweet.
Yeah, he actually said, like, oh, that's like that, or whatever what he said. But, yeah, so definitely worth seeing. It's like I said, he said it's only a minute 40 seconds, so it's, like, it's very short. You're in and out real quick, so it's good.
It's very good. definitely worth a minute and 48 seconds, or, you know, double or triple that, depending on how many times you want to watch it. It's definitely
I've definitely wasted close to a half an hour watching it.
It's not wasted.
No. It's great.
It is a wonderful thing. Well, I don't know if you guys remember back in episode 1 and episode 2 that I was at PAX East and I spoke with a couple of people at Disruptor Beam. The first episode was about the game. The other one, I was just kind of get other people's feedback on the thoughts of the passing of Leonard Nimoy. And I've been in contact with them still, and we're going to have 2 of them on next time to talk about the game some more, so we can get some more details on that. Hopefully, you know, learn when the beta's coming out. Hopefully that'll be soon. The game was just a lot of fun to play.
It looks so cool. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
And so it'll just be neat to get to talk with people who are super passionate about Star Trek and who are working on a game that will probably be taking up all of our time very, very soon, hopefully.
Breaking up relationships and whatever else. Get off the damn game. We gotta go.
No, they it's should be playing it game. With you. Otherwise, it's not the best relationship.
Well, it's a mobile game. You can play it wherever you go.
Would you put the phone down for 5 minutes?
No, I'm trying to get my Ferengi leveled up.
So, family meals no longer exist.
Yeah, yeah. So, That's it for Shadows by Gem. It was nice visiting it. We had a lot of fun. And, you know, you go to, just remember, you go to the coordinate system to visit the Warp 7 engines, but you stay for the boobs.
So. You stay for the tin shacks.
The tin shacks and the boobs, yeah.
And the rope.
And the rope.
Hey.
And the porridge.
That sounds like a vacation.
And the porridge with red flashy lights in it. Mmm, yummy porridge.
Go watch Shadows by Gem.
Thank you all for listening. All my music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Pink and Purdy. It wasn't recorded, so I gotta record it.
Dude,
now.
I'm just looking at your phone, and you have 7,000 unanswered emails.
They're old archived emails I hadn't gotten a chance to delete yet. I've got about 16 email accounts linked to that thing.
Man, I guess.
And email accounts I've had since college. When I was there, ye old 21, I'm 31 now. So there's 10 years worth of email crap.
See, when I got that bad, I just changed email accounts.
I've got multiple email accounts.
He just likes to keep you
multiple email accounts.
He likes to keep the emails from when he was younger, and then he goes back and he looks at what he wrote to people. And goes, oh, what the hell was I thinking?